Hello and welcome. My name is Sean Callinan from Sports Geek, sportsgeekhq.com. You might be listening to this on the Sports Geek podcast feed, but this is a different format. It's a video. I'm going to walk through some articles around one of the biggest topics that's sort of broken this week around the Facebook newsfeed proposed changes. So this is a format that's used in a few different publishers. So I thought I'd give it a go. So what I want to do is sort of look at where the Facebook newsfeed changes, what is proposed, what Facebook is saying, what other pundits and analysts are saying, and then potentially look at what the impacts might be for the sports business. So if you're listening to this on the Sports Geek podcast feed, either in iTunes or Pocket Casts or the like, and you want to sort of see the visual side of it, as I said, go to Sports Geek on Facebook, check out my LinkedIn, Sean Callinan. If we haven't connected, I'd love to connect. Also, we've got to put it on the YouTube channel. And if Twitter allows, I'll upload the native video to Twitter and see how it all goes. So I guess let's get started. I mean, and it all starts with listening to Zuck. So I'm going to jump over and sort of jump around this document a little bit, but really, if you're not following Mark Zuckerberg and sort of watching what he's both saying publicly, but then what he's actually saying on his Facebook wall, you really should be, because he does telegraph where Facebook is going and where they want to go. And so at the moment, like from this post on January 12, just a little bit over a week ago, he sort of wants to double down on the connectedness of Facebook and bringing people together. He doesn't quite go far as saying Facebook is broken. We'll leave that to the analysts. But he does go into saying that the businesses and brands and media are doing such a good job of creating content, especially around the pivot to video. So Facebook sort of in the last 2 years pushing really hard to chase down YouTube as the primary video player of the web. Brands did a really good job, sports teams included. And so the feed, and for those of you who are watching this and don't know what the Facebook news feed is, it is the algorithm that Facebook decides what you see in your feed. And so things that you like, things that you engage with get pushed up in that feed because Facebook knows that you're engaged with that. But what they're seeing is a lot of people are engaging with the brand content or watching the brands, but not really engaging with people. So this seems to be a little bit of a course correction to say, we're going to show you more of the people content, and with your friends and family and those kind of things. So that's where the hysteria started, and so the main things that that I look through with this is, you know, he does say we're going to make a major change, more meaningful social interactions is really important, and they really want to. They really want to make it a more connected experience. So sports is a real big player in that connected experience. We have fans commenting on after a win and sharing themselves at sports venues. So it is something to keep an eye on. And I sort of hark back to Zuck, what he said in 2014 when he said he wanted Facebook to be the personalized newspaper. And that's when we saw the big jump in traffic around early 2014. So pretty much the 2014 to 2015, we saw a lot of traffic increase from Facebook. And anecdotally, you know, I haven't asked every single person that I talk to, but it is one of the questions that I do ask when I'm catching up with either clients that are in the sports space and then also people I talk to on the podcast is how much traffic is Facebook driving? And it roughly is somewhere between 25 and in some cases 40% of traffic to sports properties is coming from Facebook. Now, we have seen, and again, anecdotally and talking to people, that has been dropping in the last 12 to 18 months, but it's still a fair chunk of traffic. So that would be the place where I'd start looking and start keeping an eye on as this algorithm moves in and starts starts happening and starts being rolled out to the 2 billion people that are on Facebook. what effect is that going to have on traffic? Now, one of the best articles I've read on these changes is from Ben Thompson from Stratechery and the Exponent podcast. I listen to the Exponent podcast quite often and regular reader and subscriber to his articles on tech. And so Ben is one that is always looking at the Silicon Valley space and where they're headed, analyzing those kind of things. So if you really want to be diving in and understanding behind the scenes of digital, especially, and then also, you know, the media and how it's changing, I highly recommend you at least start by reading some of Stratechery and then potentially becoming a subscriber or listen to the podcast. So he sort of breaks down both Zuck's commentary on Facebook, and then starts looking at, does he believe it? Where are they headed? Those kind of things. And again, it's all about, doing right by the community, and then he's questioning whether it's Facebook's believability, you know. He potentially, with, you know, Zuckerberg saying it could reduce time and some engagement, does that work with their advertising model? But they are also looking at different things like a video tab and trying to build out what the video tab might be, those kind of things. And then it all gets down to the ad product and where the ad product's going to be, the price of ads, will the price of ads go up? That will be one to keep an eye on. But yeah, I really did like the fact that he sort of harked back to a post that he did last year around the analogy of Facebook and phones and phone books, and talking about that the phone book is super valuable. Facebook is your phone book. It's got all of your important contacts and all of the brands and that you're looking for, and so it's very easy to monetize. Whereas the phone is when you talk to someone and at the end of the call, the moment's gone and you simply hang up. And he likens Facebook, especially in the US, to the phone book, and the phone might be Snapchat, where it's used as the messaging service, or it might be Messenger or WhatsApp and that kind of thing. And it does change around the world. And so it's a really good deep dive article on parts of, the announcement, where the news feed goes, and really looking at it at, as the title suggests, Facebook's motivations for the change. So, yeah, definitely one to read, definitely one to follow. Then I think the other part is, you know, how is this change going to affect sports? And so this DigiDay article sort of looks at what if sports have been doing, what they need to do going forward, and what potentially the changes will mean. So there's a little bit in here that a lot of the work that we're doing with teams and rights holders around how do you value social content and then how do you guarantee some results for sponsors. And so there is the traditional we're selling X many posts for a certain amount and then we tell them the value. That's going to be really fraught with danger if this change comes in and what your proposed value and proposed metrics are reach and those kind of things. So there's going to be a lot of dancing done by commercial execs and sponsorship execs if the landscape changes, which it's going to. So I think there's something really important there. And then there's also some talk in this article around what some of the big European football teams are doing by building out regional pages. Will those regional pages be worthwhile going forward with multiple assets and might be a consolidation? But definitely, I definitely agree with this statement around sponsorship and meaningful partnerships between rights holders and brands. There needs to be new measurement, and there needs to be a focus on actually delivering value to the sponsor. We can't simply say, here's the reach and here's how many people saw and here's the impressions, because it's so in flux. So you should be trying to focus on how do we get leads for the client? How do we give them results both on the platforms that we're using, and Facebook being one of them, but also how do we connect that with the their digital experience outside Facebook, then also in stadium. So I think there's a few pieces that need to be looked at there. I think, you know, the last couple of weeks, especially in the NFL, shout out to good friend Scott Kegley from the Minnesota Vikings. Sports will still and continue to be premium content on the platform, and it still will be able to go viral, and it still will be able to go reach. Now, Facebook is watching all of its stats to say, is it a great experience? Is it a great experience for our users? And Scott will attest that the Vikings fans love that play. They're going to watch it again and again and again. So it's going to tick all the boxes from a does this help? Does this help and the experience of the fan and the user in this case? So I think it's really important not to, you know, have the panic stations, but that said, understand where Facebook's trying to head from a content point of view and what it wants for its users. And so it's something that you should always be thinking about yourself, about we're going to put this out on Facebook. What do we want the user to do? Do we want them to comment on it? Do we want them to watch the video? Do we want them to click through? That's going to be more paramount. The, hey, we're just going to put up another post and just expect the traffic. Bad content will not work. And, you know, a really interesting and sort of gives me a little bit of confidence around Facebook and sports is, you know, the recent hiring of Peter Hutton from Eurosport to Facebook. Primarily, again, this is from the Guardian, you know, primarily to look at Facebook in the model of acquiring rights for sports. So again, I do think sports as a media, as a vertical, should almost get a different marker on the algorithm, and the fact that there is a, you know, talented Facebook sports team there that would be saying, well, this is the content that our fans, that our users are engaged with, and the fact that they're going to try to dive into the live sports space and use that as a space to build up the Facebook Watch platform. It's again something to keep an eye on, and congrats to Peter for taking on the role. I look forward to seeing, one, as the rights come up and how Facebook sort of deals with them and presents them, because it will potentially be a new product on how you consume videos. So as well as, you know, looking at what Mark Zuckerberg's saying on his own Facebook wall, the Facebook newsroom is, again, the best resource to on what Facebook actually trying to do. And there was effectively three blog posts that sort of led up to the point of Zuck's post. One was fighting engagement bait. And again, it's all about making the experience better for people on Facebook. Now, we've all seen the, hey, press, you know, the different emoji voting, the react baiting, the share baiting, share this to win, which for a while was completely banned. Then they stopped banning it. Now they're just going to do it algorithmically. So you can still do all these things, but know that Facebook will start detecting it. It will lower its reach, those kind of things. So, you know, the tagging and comment baiting, and it is something that some media brands are doing a lot of. It'll be interesting to see how that is affected. We've seen some sports use it quite effectively, both on Facebook and on other platforms. I really like what the Sacramento Kings are doing with a few of their Instagram posts around, you know, the last three digits of your phone number, this is the type of player you are, those kind of things. But what Facebook's saying is they're going to start algorithmically weeding out these pieces of content. And then the other piece that Facebook is trying to address is fake news. You know, fake news, fake news, fake news. It's the catch cry of 2017. And so what they're trying to do is to mark publishers as trustworthy. So I don't think this one will impact sports so much, because I think they'll have a high trust factor, the fact that they're already verified. And we've already seen that this kind of work that, you know, Adam Mosseri and his team are putting in has worked before, when they got rid of the clickbaity articles and those kind of things, and they just sort of completely disappeared from the feed. So again, trustworthiness, I think sports has that. So I think it's actually going to be a win in this case. But again, their goal is to bring people closer together. And so it is a matter of, you know, they're going to look at, and again, it sort of does break down all the things around the factors, include type of content, the watch time, the referral traffic. And so this is pretty much saying we want to make sure that all of our users stay connected and want to be on the platform. So again, start framing your content for that. Now, we don't want to go down the path of engagement baiting and like baiting, which again, worked terrifically in like 2009, 2010, 2011 with the simple like this post if you think we're going to win today. That's going to get detected by the algorithm. But how can you do content? And it might not be every single piece of content, but how can you do content that will get people to engage, get people to comment naturally without trying to pull it out? And I think, again, sports naturally does that. It naturally is a conversation starter. So I think one of the things, this is a slide that that I've used multiple times. It's been in my presentation deck for many years. The thing that has changed over time is the order of those types of posts. So this graphic sort of produces is how do you go about getting engagement, and as the newsfeed has evolved, this has evolved. So 2009, 2010, it would have been ranked picture, link, because videos weren't on there, and question. And then 2014, when the personalized newspaper comment and focus came out, link went to the top of the tree because it would drive traffic and engagement and conversation. And then in the past 12 to 18 months, it's been video. So it's been, you post a video, you'll get more engagement, you get more reach, you'll get more more views. Now, this is where it'll be interesting to see how that potentially reorders in the next 12 months. You know, to see exactly, you know, what video works, where the video sits in short form video, that works really well, those highlights, those kind of things that builds out, you know, great audience, is very shareable, versus longer form video. Is that going to move into the Facebook Watch platform, which pushes it to somewhere different? But you might be producing a show that comes out every week that people subscribe to. So things like the reality shows that Facebook is invested in, like Ball and the Family with LeVar Ball and his sons and their reality show. You can follow the episode. We're seeing Wired do that with its autocomplete interviews and those kind of things. So that's something to watch. So I really think you need to be diving in on the analytics of your videos, especially on Facebook, both either by who's watching them and how long they're watching them. If you're putting up a 90-second video and only 8 seconds is being watched, that's not a video that's going to work. That's going to be a video that's going to get flagged in the algorithm and not be shown as much. So really dive into your stats. Nothing is going to save you as far as, you know, what the content is, but at least look into the stats to know this is working, this is not working, and don't hold on to content that's not working. It's great to say, yes, the season ahead, we're going to do 25 of these videos. If they're not working after 3, it has to be changed. It has to be a little bit more agile in what you're doing from a content point of view. So there's a few other commentaries. Paul Wallbank, good mate of mine from Umbrella, sort of did a nice recap again of the Facebook post and what I've sort of discussed there with Adam Masseri from the engagement bait point of view. And again, you dive into the comments and there's a little bit of why are we doing this? Paid is going to have to be, they're just doing it from an advertising point of view. They're being greedy. But it is a case of you build your house on someone else's land, you've got to pay rent. And so, you know, diversifying your portfolio from a content point of view and your distribution point of view. Facebook's still going to be the biggest player in the market, but It's about, well, what do other channels offer and not being all in. I really enjoyed Murray Smith. So Murray Smith is a social media and social media marketer and consultant. I've met her a couple of times at conferences in the States. She provides a really good recap of, there you go, Murray will have to be probably changing her her Facebook cover about video. But again, she sort of goes through, and I think the main bit was this piece, prioritizing content that sparks conversations and meaningful interactions. Again, if that's not the definition of sports content, I don't know what is. But it is all about making sure the fans, users, I keep saying fans because we're talking sports and fans, they're talking users, to making sure that they have the best experience there is. So you really need to completely completely focus on it. I think the other piece is also looking at what other publishers outside sports, how they're reacting to this proposed change. Again, it's a proposed change. It will come through. It's been announced, but we can't say with any surety that this is how it's going to work until it starts happening. And so this was, I thought, was a pretty, you know, measured article around, hey, let's look at where the content, keeping an eye on the traffic, the fact that the reach and traffic has been declining. So again, no one's surprised that it's happened. The fact that so many people are flocking to the platform, it was always, you know, the stats of people like 1500 things, the newsfeed can only show 300. There is going to be that push point. So I think looking at what other digital publishers are doing and what they're doing to mitigate that risk, which ones are working well, I think is important. Because if you're just looking at, hey, this is what the sports industry is doing, you're not seeing the success that the publishing industry and those kind of things. There's a couple of other new good articles. And some that are a bit more extreme than others that are effectively trying to click. Will it spark the death of social media agencies? For the ones that are just producing content and saying, cool, we will help you produce content for your Facebook page, we'll charge you a fee, and they are content producing agencies, they will be in trouble. Because the previous reach and the previous engagement they would have got would be trouble. It will drop. But the ones that have a deep understanding of how to use the ad tech behind the scenes and produce good content that people do want, it will be really important. And it will be tough, I think, for some social media agencies to tell clients, and this is probably more so outside sport than inside sport, that Facebook's not the right platform. Or if Facebook is the platform you want to try, it's going to be a spend. It's a pay play, which again, works, but it's not going to be for everybody. So I think there is going to be a few agencies that get there. I think Gizmodo, was a little bit more, harsh on the change. And again, more so on how they're going to go about it. The fact that they're going to be asking customers via surveys. I think probably there'll be more in the analysis of the data and what people are consuming than 100 or 1,000 or 100,000 people filling out a survey saying what they want from Facebook. But again, articles are going to be written. They're all worth reading. And I think this one was a bit of a precursor to it in the fact that so many brands and so many content publishers did the pivot to video, and it worked early, but then it started to drop. So I think the fact that some had some really good success there pushed a lot of other people in there and caused the issue that Facebook is trying to correct, the fact that too many people were just looking through their feed and there was video after video after video after video from a whole bunch of brands that people were, they weren't, it wasn't stopping thumbs. And so I think that's where there is some changes. Now, I guess there's a, you know, what's the recap of this? What do people think? What about the alternatives? I do think this provides potentially an opportunity for other platforms. And like I clicked to this article around Snapchat because I think they're really pushing really hard on the publisher side and also pushing really hard on the brand advertiser side. I still think going back to that Ben Thompson phone book analogy, I still think it is, I agree with him in that it's hard to get ads into the phone space. But what they're trying to do is to get more people, more publishers into the Snapchat platform. But if you look here also, there's Tout, which is a video product that I used, I don't know, 7 years ago, that's still pushing itself out there. So I think there will be potentially opportunities for Snapchat, for Twitter, but potentially to lure publishers back. Now, the only way that they do that is by delivering traffic and delivering results and delivering analytics in the case of Snapchat. So it'll be interesting to see how they react to Facebook going deeper on how do we connect people. And so hopefully you're not hearing the chainsaw in the background, but about to wrap up. What I wanted to do is to give a little bit of a recap of what you're saying. So I shared this on a few of my social media channels. Funnily enough, the most successful channel from a term of reach and comments was LinkedIn, which I do think is the changes it's been making recently around content and engagement and reach and those kind of things. It's a really valuable platform. It's more of a valuable platform from a B2B point of view and connecting with other people. So if you're in the sports business, you know, I highly suggest you connect with other people. I'm happy to connect with me as I'm always sharing and asking people what they think. Jeremy links to the article from Neiman Lab that I spoke about. I completely agree with what Kieran's saying here around if you've got a solid strategy in place and you know what your audience is and you know the content that they want, you shouldn't have an effect. But, you know, there is concerns around the traffic. And so diving in and watching the analytics a little bit closely, but there's a bit of stay, hold, watch, which is a really good strategy from Kieran at the Adelaide Footy Club. I agree with Hamish. Facebook knows what they're doing. I agree with Ben Thompson. There may be advertising impacts and it might be a strategy to build out more revenue. But they are taking on board and probably seeing people engage less and those kind of things. And they want to correct that because if people start being disengaged and stop using the platform, they could become, you know, this millennium's MySpace. Will it happen? Who knows? But no one thought people would leave MySpace in droves. So they are staying customer focused, which any business should be. There's a few other people that have posted since I started this and hadn't got back to. Yes, I agree with Craig here at Leeds United. And a lot of it's been blown out of proportion. And it's important just to, you know, go back to Kieran's point of keeping an eye on the stats. And I agree with George, you know, to a certain extent, sports are safe. They are safe, but I think the part that is not safe is that sponsorship piece, the post that gets done for the sponsor for X reason, that will get hit by the algorithm. So I think that's a piece. Barry, yes, it is just a, you know, he's believing it's a fake news. I think it's more than just the correcting of the fake news problem. But I do think the fact that, you know, agree with Steve, and Steve Gibbs there around the fact that they're pushing into live sport and want rights means hey they'll definitely be looking at that and they'll be part of the algorithm. But again, agree It's, you know, as content creators, if you're creating content for Facebook, it can't be cheap. It can't be lazy. It's got to be deeper. It's got to hit an audience. And for mine, don't try to hit your whole audience. Don't try to say we want to hit all of our fans, because then you're trying to please everyone and you end up pleasing no one. So targeted content created for a particular audience will engage. They will comment. They will share. It will tick all the boxes. So, so I think there's a few things there. It does concern me that of the three posts that I did, Facebook got the least. Jared seems to think they're going to fragment the publishers, which I think they are going to do. I don't think it's completely just a way to pull more money out of the publishers, because they do need premium content to get people in there. Because if people personally aren't producing the content, then a lot of people use Facebook as the personalized newspaper. There's going to be a bit of untraining that Facebook's going to have to do if people are, hey, this is where I get my news. This is where I expect it. So again, I think Facebook's going to cater for a few. The one that had the least reach and got the least comments was, unfortunately, the Facebook page, which is a little bit ironic, but it's to be expected, because people aren't engaged with the Sports Geek Facebook page or with my Facebook page as much as they are with me on LinkedIn and with me on Twitter. So I think that's about it to wrap it up. I'll be putting all of these links into a blog post. I'll put this video on all the channels, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. Again, if you're listening to this on the Sports Geek podcast feed and you want all these links, or you want to watch me click through around the internet on all these different articles, you can go to all those channels to watch the video. This post will be available at sportsgeekhq.com/FBNewsFeed2018, because we all know that it's going to change again in 2019 and 2020. I'll make sure I keep those URLs available. I'll give you access to this Google Doc if you want to click on all the links as well. If you want any more resources, you can go to sportsgeekhq.com. As a video watcher, listener, you can always reach me via email, sean@sportsgeekhq.com, or Sean Callanan on most social media platforms, or you can even book in a time for a phone call by going to sportsgeekhq.com/phone call. As always, just a quick promote at the end, we've got a weekly email newsletter, Sports Geek News, that's crowdsourced. All the links that I read and share, a lot of the ones that I've talked about today, I share on my social media. The ones that get your clicks and your likes and your comments end up in the newsletter. So it ends up being a really good curated newsletter, because I've got great followers that are clicking on the things that they want to read. So if you miss anything during the week, it'll be in that newsletter. And you can go to sportsgeekhq.com/SGN to sign up. The Sports Geek podcast, available weekly, where I normally would be interviewing sports business executives from around the world, over 150 hours of free content and interviews there. We've got past 250,000 downloads. I'd love your feedback. And if you are a listener, thank you very much. And if you want, you can leave a review on iTunes. It's available on iTunes, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, all good podcast platforms. And then the last thing is the Sports Business Slack community. It doubled in size in 2017, and we're looking to do that again in 2018. There's nearly 1,300, I think it's just past 1,300 sports execs from around the world in the Sports Biz Slack community, talking about digital and technology and stadiums and esports. So if you're in sports business, you work in sports business, and you'd like to connect with people in Europe and the UK, in Australia, in the US, we've got a stack of sports professionals from the US in the Sports Biz Slack. Please do go to sportsgeekhq.com/slack. So I hope you enjoyed this as a different format. If you did, leave a comment on whatever platform you're watching this on, or send me a tweet at Sean Callanan. Until next time, and I might try this again, depending on the success. I'm going to look at the stats. I'm going to look at the engagement. I'm going to look at the views and the watch time. Let me know what you thought. Until then, my name is Sean Callanan from Sports Geek.